A reading from the book of Exodus. The children of Israel set out from Ramesses for Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, not counting the little ones. A crowd of mixed ancestry also went up with them, besides their livestock, very numerous flocks and herds. Since the dough they had brought out of Egypt was not leavened, they baked it into unleavened loaves. They had rushed out of Egypt and had no opportunity even to prepare food for the journey. The time the children of Israel had stayed in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, all the hosts of the Lord left the land of Egypt on this very date. This was a night of vigil for the Lord, who led them out of the land of Egypt. So on this same night, all the children of Israel must keep a vigil for the Lord throughout their generations. The Word of the Lord. High school seniors do it, hoping for letters of acceptance from their colleges and universities of choice. Parents do it for 9 months, anticipating the births of their children. Little children do it on Christmas Eve, trying to get a glimpse of Santa Claus, maybe coming down from the chimney. Families, friends, and community members do it at the bedside of loved ones who are ill or dying. To keep vigil is to watch and to wait with careful attention and anticipation of what is to come. For people of faith, to keep vigil is to wait and hope for the action and presence of God in our midst. Today's readings cast us back to the night of the Easter Vigil, when we recall the Jewish Passover and the people of Israel keeping vigil at the Lord's command. And we wait with the women at the tomb who kept vigil, trying to make sense of what had happened to Jesus. In the moment, neither the Jewish people nor the women knew or understood what exactly it was they were waiting for, what they were hoping for. As descendants of these ancestors in faith, we know the end of the story. We know that the Israelites waited in vigil for the triumph of God to respond to their cry and lead them out of Egypt, that place where they endured 430 years of slavery. We know that the women, waiting for dawn to arrive in order to attend to the burial needs of Jesus, became witnesses of Christ's victory over death. Perhaps what they yearned for, what they hoped for, was for life to go back to what it had once been, before slavery, before crucifixion. What they received was something very different. When we keep vigil, when we wait on the Lord in hope, we need to understand that things will never be as we expect them to be when it comes to the divine breaking in. Once we encounter the Lord, we are changed. Life is changed. The promise of God is the promise of new life, not life as it once was. Baptism is one such occurrence. When the promise of new life is given, the Spirit of the Lord is given to us. Life cannot, life should not be as the world thinks it should be, thinks that it is. We have become a new creation in Jesus the Christ. And as much as we wait in vigil for the Lord, so the Spirit waits in vigil for us to accept the gift given to us and to act on it. We continue to live in a time that calls for intentional vigilance, a time that calls for unabashed hope, that calls for a life of conviction that we live in God and God lives in us. We have been freed from the chains that bind us to things like apathy, self-righteousness, pride, arrogance, cynicism, and the belief that there is only one way to survive in this world. Our faith tells us that there is another way, the way of compassion and mercy, of forgiveness and reconciliation, of openness and dialogue, It is the way of Jesus the Christ. The women waited in vigil at his tomb and saw the one who is victory over death. We too wait in vigil for the one who waits on us, for the one who waits with us. We can no longer ignore the poking and prodding of the Spirit. As Pope Francis keeps telling the youth and young adults, it is time for us to make a mess of the world, that it might know the fulfillment of the promise of new life.